Good morning, everyone. How are we? You okay? Great to see us all gathered up here, up in the balcony, online, and here in church. Lovely to be with you. I wonder if you know this man, Jean-Francois Gravelet. He was born in 1824, and later he was renamed Charles Blondin. He might be nicknamed the Great Blondin. Do you know what wondrous acts he did? Tightrope walk, he did. You don't need this next slide to show, does it? He was a French acrobat who in 1859 famously walked across the Niagara Gorge, just down from Niagara Falls. The walk across the gorge was almost a quarter of a mile long. Took 20 minutes to cross, and it was 51 metres above the raging waters of the Niagara River. Amazingly, he worked without any safety net or safety harness of any kind, so the slightest slip would have been a fatal one. 25,000 people travelled each day to watch Blondin perform different stunts while tightroping across the gorge. He did it blindfolded, he did it with his hands tied, he did it in a sack, he did it pushing a wheelbarrow, he did it on stilts, he did it standing on a chair with only one of its legs balanced on the rope. I don't know, have you, any of you done that? It's a bit tricky. But my favourite is this one. Hovering over the deep gorge with fast flowing waters beneath, he walked just halfway. And he sat down, cooked himself an omelette, ate the omelette, then got up and walked the rest of the way to safety. Amazing, right? On one occasion, he pushed a wheelbarrow across the gorge blindfolded. When he reached the other side, the crowds were in uproar with loud applause and encouragement for more. Blondin then hushed the crowd and addressed them, saying, "Do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow?" The crowd enthusiastically said, "Yes, we believe it." "In that case," Blondin said, "you know where I'm going. Who wants to get in?" Nobody volunteered. Nobody even moved. You see, our words sometimes don't stack up to our actions. It's easy to say, "I believe," but it's much harder to live it out. As we come into land with our Questions Jesus Asked series, the question we're looking at today is, do you believe this? It's a question Jesus asked Martha when she had just lost her brother Lazarus. "Do you believe in me? Do you believe your brother will rise again? Do you believe?" But to understand this question fully, we need to look at the moments leading up to it. So let me start by briefly looking at verses 1 to 17. Jesus had just miraculously escaped from being stoned in Jerusalem and found refuge 18 miles away in the region of Bethania, near to where his cousin John the Baptist used to baptize people. A short time after arriving there, a messenger came from Mary and Martha saying that their brother Lazarus was sick. In all of Jesus' humanity, he would have wanted to go see his friend Lazarus and heal him of his sickness. But in verses 5 and 6, it says this. Now Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he... what? 3. He dropped everything and rushed to Bethany? No. He was in shock and deeply concerned? No. It says, so when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus was a good friend with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, so they expected him to come rushing to the rescue. But when Jesus heard the news of Lazarus' sickness, he stayed where he was and did nothing to get to Lazarus. It doesn't make sense, does it? It seems to suggest that because Jesus loved them, because of that, he's going to do nothing to help them for a few days. But he sent a message back to Mary and Martha saying, "This sickness will not end in death, for it is happening so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Throughout this passage, Jesus didn't concern himself with the sickness and death of Lazarus. His focus was on teaching his disciples about his obedience, about his power, and about his divinity. His focus was on the disciples. And his objective, as he says in verse 15, was for his disciples to believe who he was saying he is, to believe that he is God. Meanwhile, the messenger returning to Mary and Martha in Bethany probably had a spring in his step. Jesus says that Lazarus is not going to die. This is great news to report back on when I arrive. But by the time he got back to Martha and Mary, there was already loud weeping and wailing, for Lazarus had died. How do you think Martha and Mary felt? The one person they believed could have healed and saved Lazarus was a good friend of theirs, but he chose not to go with them. They must have felt hurt, disappointed, angry. I would, wouldn't you? Then after 2 days, Jesus finally says, "Let's go." But then his disciples step in and try to persuade him to stay in the safe place and not to go to Bethany, as it was less than 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And there was a high chance that Jesus would be spotted and reported to the authorities so they could arrest him. Isn't that often the case when we're following God's guidance in our lives? We hit some opposition. We shouldn't be surprised by this, as Satan doesn't want us to be following God. He wants to distract us and destroy us and rip us away from the goodness and grace of God. So don't let the opposition defer you or delay you from following God's plans. Anyway, Jesus responded with insight God had given him, that Lazarus was already dead, and that, bless you, and that this whole event is for their sake. And there, do you want a tissue? I've got a fresh one. It's fresh. Do you trust what I'm saying, Lauren? Anyway, Jesus did say that that Lazarus is already dead, and that this whole event is for their sake and their faith. So they headed off to Bethany. Knowing the struggle now and the tension that today's reading sits within, let's look at today's passage. Jesus and his disciples are now on the outskirts of Bethany. The disciples were probably on high alert, looking out for any potential danger. And then in verse 17, it says that Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, there's a couple of things to note here. First of all, it says Jesus found. This word found can also mean discovered. It suggests that Jesus discovered something new as he was entering the town, probably from people who knew about Lazarus' death and knew Jesus and told him about what happened. So it may be that God hadn't shared every detail of the plan with Jesus, because Jesus didn't need every detail to follow God's guidance. We often want all the detail before we obey God's call in our life, don't we? But that's not how it works. More often than not, some things are discovered along the way. We just need to trust and obey. And then secondly, note the 4 days. Why is John so specific here? Well, there was a Jewish superstition that when someone died, the spirit of that person hovered over them for 3 days. Then on the fourth day, it left them. Which meant that they were beyond any element of life, physical and spiritual. So Lazarus wasn't just seen to be physically dead. He was believed to be spiritually dead too, and therefore beyond all hope. It was for this very reason that Jesus remained in Bethania for those 2 days, so that he could demonstrate the extent of the divine power that is within him. Martha then hears that Jesus is on the edge of town, and not wanting to wait any longer, she leaves her duty to host the mourners and rushes out to meet Jesus, while Mary stayed at home hosting all the people that were mourning Lazarus' death. See how the roles have switched with those two from when we last heard about them. Then in verse 21, Martha finds Jesus and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Later in verse 32, when Jesus arrives at Lazarus' house, Mary also says the exact same thing to Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So it seems clear that these two women had been talking together in the house while waiting for Jesus to come. Their frustration growing and their faith shrinking as each hour went by. They are clearly disappointed, angry, and with no hope left. But with Jesus now stood before her, Martha brings her disappointment to him and proclaims, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you asked." What a statement to make in her grief. "Even now, while my brother is dead, I'll trust you. Even now, while I don't know what you're going to do, I believe in you." I know some of you here today are faithfully praying even now prayers. We want to stand with you in that. To hold your hands up when you grow weary and support you in the suffering, the confusion, the disappointment, the frustration. And Jesus responds to Martha's faith saying, "Your brother will rise again." This is actually as hard to read today as it would have been to hear it said by Jesus. Because dead people don't generally rise from the dead, now or then, especially after 4 days. So Martha did what we would do, and she generalized the statement and said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But while Martha was talking generally about the doctrine of the Jewish faith, that a Messiah will return to redeem all believers, Jesus was talking specifically about Lazarus. Martha's understanding of the Jewish doctrine is right, but doctrine doesn't save us. Doctrine doesn't redeem us, and doctrine doesn't bring someone back to life. Jesus isn't just the general saviour. He's yours and my rescuer. It's a personal thing. But doctrine was all Martha could hold on to, as she had never seen someone be raised from the dead. The immediate resurrection of Lazarus wouldn't have been in her mind at all. So Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let's break this incredible statement down a bit. "I am," is Jesus used that term, as the Jews would have recognized that as a personal name for God. And the resurrection, Jesus was saying that he is the Messiah who will be returning at the end of time to resurrect all who believe. And then the life, We are only alive because God breathed his life into us. And Jesus was saying that that life is his. Jesus was saying without doubt, I am God. Challenging words to say in front of people who didn't know him. And it's what almost got him killed just a few days before this. But he needed his disciples to realize who he is. God. He is one with God. Not just a messenger like the prophets. Not a good teacher to equip the next generation. He is God. And therefore, he is not limited by death. So, he took what was general doctrine and made it personal with Lazarus. And he can be just as personal with us today in our everyday lives. So Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe I am God? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now let's skip back to Blondin, if you allow me to. The crowd said they believed, but no one was willing to go with him. But one man trusted Blondin more than the crowd and was willing to be carried across the gorge. Somebody who had watched all his crossings, someone who had seen enough to say yes. His friend and manager, Harry Colcord, said yes. And Blondin carried Colcord on his back and tightrope walked across the gorge. That tells me that belief is based on relationship. Colcord believed in Blondin because he knew Blondin personally and knew what he was capable of. In the same way, belief in Jesus is based on a relationship with him. With Harry Colcord clinging to his back, Blondin gave his manager the following instructions. Look up, Harry. You are no longer Colcord. You are Blondin. Until I clear this place to be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we will both go to our death. In the same way, we need to let go of our control in life and trust God to carry us through it. To do that, we need to become one with Jesus, listening to his voice, following his actions, and leaning into what he leans into. Colcord said yes to Blondin. Martha said yes to Jesus. Are we people who say yes to God? Now we could land there. People believing in Jesus and trusting in him. But it's not quite as neat as we might think. Martha had said the right thing. But she was still thinking general resurrection at the end time. While Jesus was thinking personal resurrection now. We know this because further on in the chapter, in verse 38, when Jesus asked them to roll away the tombstone, it was Martha who said not to move it because there would be a bad smell from the decomposing body. So Martha wasn't expecting her brother to be raised from the dead at all. But by the grace of God, Jesus doesn't condemn Martha for this. It seems that this is okay. St. Anselm, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 11th and 12th century, speaks into this and famously says, I do not seek to understand in order to believe, but I believe in order to understand. Our belief leads us to greater understanding, but without belief we drift away from understanding, even losing what we previously had. Verse 15 said, Jesus said to his disciples that Lazarus' resurrection is so that they may believe, not so that they may understand. There's a lot we don't understand about God, as we were not created to understand all that God is. We were created to believe in him. So we mustn't expect to have every question answered in order to believe. God had already revealed enough of himself for us to believe. In creation, in the evidence for Jesus' life, in the Bible, in the our personal experiences. So it's a choice, and one that should impact every area of our lives. Because I believe is more than just a statement of faith. It's a statement of commitment to live out in our daily lives with Jesus. So what about today? For some here, life is good, and it's easy to say, I believe. But for many of us, there are struggles and disappointments and distractions in life. So who do you most relate to from the lives we've read about this morning? Is it Martha? Does Jesus feel distant? Maybe you're disappointed with him and questioning whether he truly cares about your situation. You're praying even now prayers, but your hope is shrinking. What about Mary? You're busy preparing for Christmas, but not having time for Christ. Are you wanting Jesus to make the first move? What about the disciples? You're in fear about Jesus leading you into a place you don't want to go. It doesn't make sense and you're feeling vulnerable. Or Lazarus. You used to know Jesus and have a relationship with him, but now, for whatever reason, you have become spiritually dead. And you need the resurrection power of Jesus to breathe life into you again. Or was it like the crowds? You're watching and wondering, but not yet partaking. You are invited to believe in Jesus today. If that's you, would love to pray for you after the talk this morning, for you to meet Jesus. What we need to remember is the power is not in our belief, but in what we believe in. The power then was in Jesus Christ. But the power for us is in the Holy Spirit, who is God's presence and power in us today. Which is why we are going to invite the Holy Spirit now to work in our lives today. Jesus wept over Lazarus, so we can be sure that he sees your tears. Jesus suffered on the cross, so we can be sure that he knows our pain. And Jesus was betrayed by those closest to him, so we can be sure that he feels our disappointment. So be patient. Give it all to Jesus. Trust his faithfulness and believe. I just want to leave a few moments for people to think. Who represents you in today's story? And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and would like one, we'd love to pray for you. Maybe you had a relationship with Jesus, but you've drifted away. We want to stand with you as you come back into that relationship with God. So if you're able, should we stand and let's just wait a few moments on Jesus and his Holy Spirit and see what he wants to do this morning. Let's just say those powerful words, come Holy Spirit. Maybe it's not about what I've said this morning, there's something else that you've carried in this morning and you're desperate for God to step into the situation you're living in. Maybe you feel your prayers haven't been answered and you're frustrated and disappointed. Put your faith in the promises of God. All will be well when we lie with him. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill us afresh. If you would like to receive prayer, there will be people available at the back of church or the front here. And as we return into sung worship, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. And choose him, choose to believe in him again today. So if you'd like to be prayed for, please come forward or go to the back and we'll pray for whatever it is that Jesus is wanting to do in your life today. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. You died for us so that we might have a relationship with you. God, we want to say this morning, we believe. We believe in who you are. You, Jesus, are God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So come, fill us afresh to send us out to proclaim the goodness of who you are.